Ruth had experienced a wonderful chain of miraculous events in her life. Not long ago, she was in Moab. She was a widow without hope for the future. Unaware of what lay ahead of her, she made that decision to follow Naomi and go to Bethlehem. That would turn out to be the most important decision she ever made in her life. God is working behind the scenes in her life, and a letter to the field of Boaz, that man of wealth, that man that had the reputation of being able to help her, that kinsman of Naomi. As time went on, their fondness grew together. We have considered that over recent weeks, how he cared for her, how he, as it were, even though she was a Gentile, he met every need she had. And then Ruth realized the enormity of this opportunity, of this man, this kinsman redeemer, how she made her way to the threshing floor, how she there proposed marriage to Boaz, and unsure of how he would respond, Ruth must now have been overjoyed when he agreed to marry her. In this passage here that we read tonight, it describes the outworking of the events that Boaz proposed in chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13 that we considered last week, and even the verse 18 of chapter 3. And we'll just read them again. Chapter 3, verse 12. "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of that kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down unto the morning." And then verse 18, Naomi's words to Ruth. "Then said she, Sit down, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing of this day." There are two special needs that were involved here. The land that belonged to Elimelech needed to be redeemed by a relative, and the widow of one of his sons needed to become married to that relative. Ruth's needs were bound up legally to the land, and so the land could not be redeemed without Ruth. The two things went together hand in hand. However, there's one very important issue that stood in the way. There was a kinsman who was a closer relative than that of Boaz. We read that in verse 12. According to the law of God, this nearer kinsman had the first option, had the first right of refusal to Ruth, as it were. And Boaz truly desired to marry Ruth. He loved her. He wanted to marry her. But Ruth would have to wait and see how this nearest kinsman would respond to this opportunity of redemption. Now, the morning here in chapter 4, the morning has now dawned, and Boaz has made good in his promise that he made to Ruth that previous night. He's on his way to the town to meet with this nearer kinsman. And with the hope of marriage, he'd gone to seek redemption for Ruth. It was his love for her that compelled him to make that trip that morning into the town. And what a wonderful picture there we have of the love that our Saviour had for us, that compelled him to make that journey to the cross. He went, his face was like a flint towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, towards the work in which he would do for his people. And here Boaz sets out willingly to go and seek out this Redeemer and find out if he could redeem Ruth. And here we come to the climax, as it were, of this book of Ruth. This is the climax. The things recorded in chapter 4 are the things which everything else that we have considered up to this point have been leading to, right to this point. And everything in this chapter is designed by God the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts and our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the great work of redemption on behalf of his people. This evening I want to consider the eternal truth of redemption under the title, "There is a Redeemer." There is a Redeemer. Notice firstly the character of the Redeemer. The character of the Redeemer. We have already spent time in previous messages considering the character and integrity of Boaz, but this day, this moment, as he performs this act, would reveal his commitment to Ruth and solidify his character to her. Keep in mind that Boaz is a type of Christ. Notice here his willingness. Verse 1, "Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there." He wasted no time in handing this matter of redemption. This was his priority. This was the first thing on his mind when morning light came. The first thing, once they were settled on the desire for marriage, he made his way to the gate of the town and he sat down. Now the gate was where the official matters were conducted. And I'm sure you can think back to other portions of scripture where the gate are mentioned. Think of Lot, who sat at the gate of Sodom. That meant he was an authority in Sodom. You think of Absalom, who went to the gates. There's different mentions in the God's word of the gate being that place where the elders of the city met together to conduct the business of that day. It was the public place where the intents of men were revealed. And Boaz expected that the close relative of Ruth, or Naomi, sorry, would come by, probably while on his way to work out in his field. He'd be passing by the gate that day. And Boaz loved Ruth and he was willing to secure her redemption. So why did he go there, we might ask? Well, he went there to intercede for Ruth. That's why Boaz went there. He went there to intercede for Ruth. And again, we have that wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has gone up to heaven to intercede. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Boaz sat down here at the gate to intercede for Ruth. And Christ sits in glory and he intercedes for his people. Boaz went to the city to do his work. Christ has gone already up to heaven because he has finished his work. His work is complete. Hebrews 10 and 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that is Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Just as Boaz, everything he did here at the gate of the city was for Ruth, so everything Christ has done for us is in love. And failure here was not even considered. Boaz was not even considering failure. He was resolved to take Ruth with him that night to be his wife, to redeem her. And with our Saviour, failure is an impossibility. He shall save his people from their sins, we read in Matthew 1 and 21. Aren't you glad tonight, friend, that Christ was willing to secure a redemption? I rejoice tonight in the fact that he agreed to fulfill the will of God in providing our salvation. His sacrifice and suffering were carried out in a public place for all to see. Remember, he was led beyond the gate outside Jerusalem and crucified on Calvary. Notice here, secondly, Boaz's witness. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. Boaz was not trying to secure some backroom deal. He went to the gate and proclaimed his intention before the elders of the city. He wanted to ensure that all that was done properly and according to the law. And the proceedings took on this matter of an official conference with the elders of the city. He wanted this marriage to be legitimate. He wanted it to be above reproach. And he informed the men of the need. He said, "Naomi that has come," verse 3, "again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was her brother Elimelech's." As I considered the way Boaz handled this situation, I was reminded again of the life and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted by Satan to avoid the cross and the plan of God. He refused the temptations of the multitudes to be made a king and to rule over them. He came to provide for our redemption. He didn't cut any corners. He didn't take the short way. He didn't avoid any responsibilities. His life was not lived in the shadows. His teachings, his ministry, his miracles, the cross, the empty tomb, the ascension back to heaven, all pointed to the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Saviour of sinners. Always done in public view. And here Boaz was doing all in front of witnesses, in public view. Notice his worthiness here in verse 4. "And I sought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. From the standpoint of the Old Testament law, the man was being called upon to do what was commanded of in Leviticus chapter 25. He was the closest relative. And Boaz was presenting himself as one who would do what the law commanded. This closer relative was unable to do it. Boaz was worthy to redeem Ruth. Yes, there was a nearer kinsman who could have redeemed her, but Boaz also met the requirements of redemption. He was able and he was willing. And as we read in these verses, the other kinsman had the opportunity, but he wasn't willing to provide all that was necessary to redeem Ruth. It appears he was interested in her inheritance, but not in Ruth herself. And that paints a picture of the inability of the law. You see, the law of God was never ordained to provide for redemption. It did not possess all that was necessary to meet the demands of God. Christ alone is worthy to secure our salvation. The law identifies sin, but it cannot forgive sin. The law condemns us, but changes none. The law slays, but the law can never save. And here we have a picture in this other kinsman. He is only able to go so far, but he wasn't able to redeem Ruth. Read in Romans 8 verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And what the law could not do, Christ could do. Because Christ came and fulfilled the law and kept the law perfectly. And therefore he fulfilled all the law that we could not do. We couldn't keep the law. We never could. We fail day and daily. But Christ fulfilled the law. And he fulfilled the conditions of the law. And he died as a sinless man, having done what we could not do. The character of the Redeemer. But notice secondly, the conditions of redemption. Here we discover the scope of redeeming one from their debt. The near kinsman was interested until he realized all that was involved. Boaz informed him here that he would be responsible for buying the land, but also he'd be buying the land from Ruth the Moabitess, which implied taking Ruth as his wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Consider the responsibilities described here under these conditions. The nearer kinsman was interested in redeeming the mortgage on Ruth's estate. But Boaz reveals that he had the responsibility of Ruth as well and the children. This man wanted land. He is interested in the land. Oh, when he heard there was land available, well, you know what farmers are like. If his land got up for sale somewhere, he might be interested. And this man had an interest in the land. But when he heard that Ruth had to be redeemed with the land, well, it is a different story. One commentator explains, buying Naomi's land would cost a close relative some money, but it would enlarge his property holdings. And since the field eventually, after the deaths of Naomi and Ruth, would revert to Elimelech's clan, i.e. to himself and perhaps partly to Boaz, his wealth would probably be increased permanently. But if he were to marry Ruth and father a son by her, however, Mahlon's inheritance would pass to the son, and he would lose both his money and the land. And this he could not accept. This man, when he heard that he'd have to take Ruth and father a child, and therefore that inheritance would pass down to the children, his offspring, well, it was a different story. This man was not willing to pay the full price. He was not willing to redeem if it was going to cost him more than he's willing to pay. Ruth, as we've seen throughout this study, is a type of the church. The world in this study is a type of a great field. The church of God is a treasure that is hid in the field. And our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, he sold all that he had. He gave all that he had and bought the field so he might get the treasure, that he might buy a bride for himself as the God-man. As the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased all things. All things are his tonight. He rules and disposes all things for the saving of his people, who he redeemed with his own precious blood. You see, all Boaz bought was Elimelech's. And so Christ bought all that was Adam's. Christ understood the full responsibility of redemption. He wasn't interested in partial redemption. He wasn't interested in fulfilling part of the law, but rather he came to bring a full redemption, to save us fully and completely by his marvellous grace. Aren't you glad tonight, friend, that the Lord came to save us completely? He didn't make an exception when it came to salvation. He didn't say that it was reserved for the Jews only, but rather it was for the Jews and Gentiles. He didn't say that he would save certain sinners, but rather he would save all who came to him by faith. This offer of redemption for Christ was a full offer, a complete offer, a full offer. There's hope for all tonight because of his sacrifice and provision. Notice the resources that were demanded here in verse 6. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Oh, he would have liked to redeem the property, but he didn't have the means to secure a roof and raise up another family. Too much of a sacrifice for him. He wasn't willing to make such a sacrifice. And yet Christ was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. Christ was willing to give his life a ransom for his people. He held nothing back. He gave himself totally upon the cross. And praise God tonight, our salvation is secure because Christ has given his all. And he was raised from the dead, a picture of God's wrath being satisfied. Send it back to glory. That sacrifice was complete. It was a full sacrifice. All that was demanded of Christ was given. And God the Father was happy with Christ and his work. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He gave his life. Notice verse 7 and 8 here. The resolution that Boaz gave here to this. He said, now this is the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbour. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. In that day, the pulling off the sandal and offering it to the purchaser declared a transfer of ownership. This is saying the deal is done. A bit like maybe what men would have done was spat on the hand and shook hands to seal the deal. But this was the deal done. This was saying this is set in stone. This is the deal complete. This cannot be gone back on. The word has been given. This deal has been settled. It has given Boaz the right to redeem Ruth, the right to purchase the land. He's saying, this is yours now. I can't buy her, but you can. You purchase her for yourself. She's now yours. You see to it. The exchange of the sandal amounted to an official transaction of the rights over land. Just as a sandal would symbolize the foot that treads upon the land and lays claim to it, we read that in Joshua, that everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, the Lord says, I will give you that land. And this is that seal. The sandal was that sign that this was your land. And thus Boaz legally became the kinsman and redeemer, not only of the land, but also of Naomi and Ruth. You see, under the law, we are like Ruth, a liability to be avoided. But in the loving eyes of our Lord and through his grace, we're a precious treasure to be redeemed. See, this other kinsman redeemer, this man who didn't redeem her, she was a liability to him. But Boaz loved her. He loved her with that love. He wanted her for himself. Friends, prior to Calvary, humanity lay in the grip of sin, held captive in bondage. And each generation has sought a means of reconciliation to God. Centuries have passed, and yet there's been no resolution because the law could not provide the means necessary for salvation. Good works, good upright living, morality, they've all failed. Just like this other kinsman was unable to redeem Ruth. All these things have failed, and they'll continue to fail, friend. Religion will fail you. Good living, self-righteousness, all these good works that you think that you are good enough for heaven, these things will fail you. It's only Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. As he died upon the cross, completing redemption's plan, all of the means that men had sought for salvation, in a sense, had to pluck off, eschew, and declare that where they had failed, the Lord Jesus Christ has succeeded. He has succeeded tonight. Where everyone else has failed, Christ has succeeded. He's able to save the sinner. One final thought. Notice the confirmation of redemption. The confirmation of redemption. When a deal was made with Boaz and the nearer kinsman, redemption was confirmed. It's proclaimed here in verse 9, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's off the hand of Naomi. It's a wonderful proclamation here. You see all these witnesses to this great transaction. This thing was not done in a corner. Boaz wanted to ensure that they all knew of Ruth, all knew of her situation, and they were all aware of her redemption. That she had been redeemed, that she had been bought back, that her debt had been settled, and he had the right to take her as his wife. She had been purchased. She was his. And I rejoice for the day that our redemption was proclaimed. As Christ hung in that agony upon the cross, having fulfilled our redemption, he served Satan and the world. Notice that it is finished. A wonderful proclamation, a wonderful confirmation of redemption, that the work was complete. As one commentator put it, the angels of God observed the great work, as did creation. For when God the Father forsook his darling Son, who was made to be sin for us, the sun was darkened, the earth quaked, the stones split open, the graves were opened, and the veil in the temple was rent in twain. The law of God now being satisfied, the veil was ripped apart, showing that there is now open access for sinners to come to the holy Lord God by the blood of Christ. As Satan and the demons of hell observed the dying triumph of the God-man, all hell must have trembled. Then 3 days later, our great emancipator rose from the grave, and as Boaz pulled off his shoe as a token of the transaction being complete, so the Lord Jesus took off his grave clothes and ascended up to heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption was proclaimed before all these witnesses. You think of the cross. You think of all those witnesses there at the foot of the cross as Christ died, as he gave up the ghost, as he bore the wrath of God on behalf of his people, as he rose from the grave again, victorious over death. Redemption has been proclaimed. Redemption is also purchased. He says in verse 10, moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Boaz had fully redeemed Ruth, paying the debt in full. No longer would she have to worry about owing any money. No longer would she have to worry about making ends meet. Her account was marked, paid in full, according to the mercy and provision of Boaz. We too owed a debt that we could never hope to pay, a debt of sin. And praise God, Christ paid that debt and marked our account paid in full. And then when we're saved, we're set free in him. We're not seeking to work our way to heaven. We're not seeking to hope to be in heaven, that we have paid enough, as it were, off our account. But rather, the slate has been wiped clean. The debt has been covered. The debt has been paid. And we're part of the bride of Christ, just as Ruth was purchased to be Boaz's bride. So the sinner who repents and trusts in Christ are purchased as the bride of Christ. This act of redemption was permanent. There would be no fear of bill collectors showing up in the future, knocking the door, looking for money. Boaz had settled her debt once and for all. This was declared and this was accepted before all these witnesses. This was done before all these people, and Ruth could now marry Boaz without the fear of her past being remembered. I'm glad our Lord does all things well. Saved or secure in him. Yes, the devil comes, as it were. He seeks to discourage us. He seeks to bring up our past sins. He seeks to say that you feel the Lord, you've let him down, but praise God, our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Covered over. Permanently. Not to be remembered anymore. We don't have to meet a certain standard in order to keep it. Christ keeps us. Boaz purchased Ruth. This was a permanent purchase. She would never be lost. She'd always be his wife. Praise God when we're saved, friend. We're part of the family of God. We'll never be lost. We're part of the bride of Christ. He's purchased us with his precious blood. He loves us with that everlasting love. He keeps us just as Boaz kept Ruth. He gave her here. He bought her redemption. Notice also this redemption was praised in verses 11 and 12. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worldly in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." Here all the people, here all the 10 elders respond by declaring that they are witness to this great exchange. This was an official act. And they go on to bless this union, to praise Boaz. They're seeking blessing upon the house of Boaz. And Boaz was made famous in Israel. His house was filled. Why? Because he deserved it. And even so, our kinsman, our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been made great. He alone is famous in his church. Why is that? Because he deserves it. Because he deserves it. He's been made great. His house shall be filled because the Lamb shall receive the reward of his suffering. He deserves it. Look at these blessings the people wish for Boaz and Ruth. They said the Lord would make Ruth like Rachel and Leah. And this prayer was that the Lord would bless Ruth with an abundance of children. And how grateful we should be that this prayer was answered, because our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a result of the union of Ruth and Boaz. Read that in Matthew chapter 1. This blessing will also be that Boaz would prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem, which we see clearly through the divine offspring of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was born in Bethlehem. This blessing will be that the house of Boaz will be like the house of Phares, who was an ancestor of Boaz. And the birth of Phares was a matter of scandal in the land of Israel. It occurred at a time of hardship for the land. And yet Phares became a prominent member in the tribe of Judah. And this was a wish or a prayer that Boaz and his offspring, though coming from a time of hardship and through a woman of Moab, would nevertheless rise to greatness in God's plan. And again, we see that come through. See it in that offspring, that union between the two, and how the Lord Jesus came from that line. In this praise, we also see a wonderful picture here of that redemption, that praise, that rejoicing in heaven over that sinner that rejoices. And they're aware of the price that was paid and the worthiness of the Lamb. And just as the people here praise Boaz for the price he paid in redeeming Ruth, so there's rejoicing and praise in heaven among the angels over that sinner that comes to Christ. How the heavenly Boaz purchases that sinner and brings him into the family of God as his part of his bride. Just let me, in closing, touch on verse 13. Look at verse 13 for a moment, just as we close. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. From chapter 2, verse 1, until chapter 4, verse 13, you might have noticed that the centre of attention is Boaz in those chapters. It's focusing on Boaz, this kinsman redeemer. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be the centre of our attention, how he ought to have the priority. And the focus is on this kinsman redeemer. But then when we come here to verse 13, this poor heathen girl is now the bride of this wealthy redeemer, this wealthy kinsman, as he comes back into focus again, and how things have changed for Ruth. The book opens with a funeral, and the book closes with a wedding. I want you to notice one thing with me right now. Notice in verse 13 what the Bible tells us about these two and their relationship. You see, this tells us that intimacy is now possible. It tells us that Boaz is able to do what he could not do in chapter 3 and the verses 10 to 14. Now Boaz is able to take Ruth in his arms. He's able to love her. You see, all the barriers that were between them have now been removed. They were separated by race. They were separated by social status. They were separated by morals and all these things. Now they are one flesh. She is as rich as he is. She's able to have fellowship of the most intimate kind with Boaz. They've been brought together in that intimate relationship. And that's, friend, that is where the sinner who comes to Christ finds himself tonight. In that intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were once separated by guilt and by sin and by poverty have now been brought near him through the work of the cross. And dear friend, tonight, those who are saved, we are as rich as he is. We're blessed of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're joint heirs of Christ. Christ is our elder brother. We are joint heirs with him. All the privileges and blessings of glory are ours. We're no longer separated, but we're in that intimate saving union with Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. We're no longer doomed. We're no longer poverty stricken. We're no longer as good as dead. We now live in Christ. Now we can rest in his bosom. We can experience the intimacies of his redeeming love. And thank God for redemption. This was probably the happiest day of Ruth's life. She had faced much despair, much disappointment, much discouragement in her life, but all that's behind her now. She's left it all behind. She has been redeemed, and it's time to prepare for a wedding with the man that she loved. I can say, as I'm sure a lot of people here can say tonight, that the most significant day in my life was the day when I was saved. When the day that I came to trust in my kinsman redeemer. It was then that I was cleansed from my sin. It was then that we were given eternal life in Christ. It was there that the despair of our old life was gone. It was then that we were brought from death unto life. And friend, I wonder tonight, what about you? Can you say tonight that you can look back in your time, a time in your life when you came as a sinner to Jesus? Could you sing those words earlier? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Could you sing those from your heart, or were they lies you sang tonight? Praise God, you can trust the heavenly Boaz tonight as your Lord and Saviour. You can come like Ruth did. You can come and have your life totally transformed by Christ. That old life gone, that old life of sin, that old life of poverty, that old life of despair, all gone in a moment. And brought into that wonderful union with the Lord Jesus Christ. To experience all the blessings that are yours tonight in Christ. The joy of sins forgiven. Of having peace with God. The assurance of a home in heaven. That one day you'll be with your heavenly Boaz. One day you'll spend eternity in the presence of God. Rejoicing, praising him for eternity. And that place that is more glorious than we can even describe. Oh friend, tonight, what will it be for you? He is willing to redeem. He is not like the others who will fail you. Your good works, your church, your all these other things that we can name tonight that will fail you, that will let you down. But not Christ. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. He will never stop loving you. He will love you with an everlasting love. A love that is beyond compare. We can't describe it. The height, the depth, the breadth of love, it's beyond description tonight, the love of Christ. Will you come tonight and experience it? Ruth did. Ruth did. She came and she was redeemed. There was a redeemer for her. Praise God, there is a redeemer for you tonight. Will you come to him? Turn away from your sin. Repent of it and trust in Christ, who alone can save your precious, never-dying soul. Oh, I trust you'll think upon these things. Don't put it off, but rather come to Christ tonight. Have your sin dealt with. Have peace with God and be made ready for heaven and for home. The Lord bless his word. Let us come and let's seek the Lord. Close our meeting. Just in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank you for that wonderful love that thou hast shown even towards us by sending thy precious Son. Thank you for Calvary. O Lord, we thank you for all that was accomplished there on behalf of thy people. Lord, we pray tonight thou'll be pleased to speak even to the hearts of sinners, even who may be in this meeting or watching online. Lord, speak to them. Show them that all others will fail them. All the promises that are made to them in life will fail. The devil makes many promises, but they're all empty promises. And then at the end of life, sadly, people will get their wages and realize those wages will bring them to a lost sinner's hell. Oh, have mercy, we ask of thee. Have mercy upon the sinner. Speak to them, we ask. Draw them unto Christ. Lord, bless thy word to all our hearts. Bless us all in thy service. Keep thy hand upon us for good, we ask. Even now as we leave this meeting, Lord, go before us. Keep us safe as we travel. Bless us throughout the rest of this week. Help us to walk close with thee. We ask it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Thank you.